Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Strive for Strength podcast. My name is Kendall Strample, aka your girl, Fierce to Fit. Today, I am really, really excited to bring you guys an amazing episode. My good friend Emma, you guys can find her on social media at coffee_and_commandos, came on to share an amazing story that she's kind of struggled with in the past, and it's revolving her body dysmorphia. And this is something I was super uneducated about, and I think a lot of people are really uneducated about. So I am so excited for you guys to actually be able to hear what she has to say and see her awesomeness and her resilience. So without further ado, let's hop into this episode, guys, with my great friend, Emma. All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Strive for Strength podcast. So today I have an amazing human being who I had the opportunity to meet just last week, and she is going to share her absolutely amazing story with you. Her name is Emma. You guys can find her on social media at coffees_and_commandos, and we have attempted this podcast before, but unfortunately, due to technical difficulties, we couldn't quite get everything together. So this time we're just going to come back even better than ever. So Emma lives cross country from me over on the East Coast, and she has a pretty awesome life going for herself already and an amazing story. So Emma, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Kendall. Hi, everyone.
So Emma, if you wouldn't mind just giving us a little bit of a rundown about yourself, kind of where you are in life, and then obviously I know you're huge within fitness is a huge part of your life, and I'd love to talk about kind of how you got to where you are now with that and what you're doing.
Yeah, definitely. So right now I'm still a college student. I'm a junior so I'm a junior in college, so I got one more year ahead of me. Right now I'm just working at an internship, so I'm not in classes right now. I'm just a little bit farther from home, but so
where you kind of started in terms of your fitness journey and kind of how it's turned you into really what you are today, I guess, and then we'll hop into a little bit more about your story of where you kind of found your struggles and things like that along the way.
Okay, so in high school, I played soccer and I did swim team. I was never too good at them. Like, I pretty much rode the bench, but I did both of those. So I was active in that way. But besides that, like going to the gym, that was pretty unfamiliar for me. When I went to college for the first year, I didn't really know how to balance the whole college classes schedule thing. So I honestly I was not active. I didn't go to the gym. I didn't really do much for that entire year. But then when I decided to take some time off and figure out who I was in that time, that's when I started following a bunch of people who influenced me today. So you yourself, Lexi DeYoung, and then Lauren Tickner were big inspirations for me. And from there, that's when I like tried to pick up weights. I didn't really know what I was doing for the first good like 5 months, but the effort was there. And then from there, I kind of just learned through using bodybuilding.com, creating my own workouts, and exploring nutrition and stuff like that. And eventually I decided for my 19th birthday to get a coach, and that's when I signed up with Nick Comodina and joined the NK team. And then from there, we've just been working together for almost a year. Next month, it'll be a year.
With Emma, basically, I followed you on social media kind of all the way from the beginning of your journey, and I think we're kind of in like the same boat there because we both worked with the same coach for quite some time. And you know, like we've talked here and there and stuff, but when you kind of reached out to me to tell me a little bit more about you know, what you were struggling with, because I come from a past with an eating disorder, I honestly had not a lot of information about it. It wasn't something that I was super educated on, which is why I'm so happy that I can have you here on this podcast to kind of inform me and, you know, a lot of other people out there who aren't really familiar on the topic of what you struggled with. So, Emma, if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about you know, your story with body dysmorphia and what you really came on here to educate us all about.
So, yeah. So, throughout high school, I always really struggled with how I was looking. So, as many girls do and guys too, especially in high school, I think the whole body image issue will always be a thing as your body's changing and as you grow up pretty much in submersed in like the amount of social media we have now, it's definitely hard. So for me, when I started feeling a lot of like self-loathing feelings and really struggling with who I was as a person, at first it was pretty manageable and I could get through the day. And then as that progressed, I kind of really struggled to get to class in the morning, and it started affecting like my routine and my everyday life. Like I would no longer hang out with friends. I wouldn't really go to any events. It was pretty much, I was forced to school, and I would sometimes have to leave midday because I wouldn't be able to make it through. And it just got overwhelming. And I still decided, like, because I didn't know what was wrong with me, my mom just thought I was just being a teenager, I decided to still go to college right from high school. And then once I went to college and I was just more alone and forced to in a new environment with a lot of change, and you don't really know anyone in a new state, I really struggled with it more, and it kind of just took over. And from there, that's when I decided that college wasn't for me right away, and I did have to take some time off.
Oh, wow. So you actually took time away from school, and what did that look like for you? Like, did you return home and kind of, like, work on yourself, or?
Yeah, so I finished the whole year, and I think by the end of the year, me and my mom knew that we both, like, decided that I wasn't going back because I was not happy. At that time, I still wasn't really seeing a therapist, and I wasn't diagnosed, so I didn't know what was going on with me. I just knew that I wasn't feeling right, and my thoughts were not lining up with everyone else around me, kind of. So from there, in the summer, I went to a couple therapists. I also got diagnosed with body dysmorphia and depression. So from being diagnosed, at least that helped me feel like, okay, there is something going on. I'm not just losing my mind.
Like, what was your, for those people out there who, you know, could possibly be suffering, or just for anyone who has a friend or anything like that, mm-hmm. What was the first step you took? Like, I know that you came home, but did you go see a doctor? Like, what did that look like for you?
Yeah, so I started off just seeing therapists, and through that, I didn't really see any changes within myself. I didn't feel like I was getting better. I didn't feel like I was getting the help I needed. And eventually it got so out of control that I was brought into the hospital. And from there, I was put into a mental hospital. And there we did like group treatment, and I got on medicine, and we kind of had a different kind of therapy throughout that. But it started because, like I was saying, it starts off, you don't really know what's going on in your head, especially with like negative thoughts and everything. You just feel kind of out of place and alone. And that's definitely hard, especially if you don't have someone to go and talk to. Like, I'm thankful I had my mom, so she helped me. But honestly, finding someone that you feel like you can open up to and relate to is definitely the first step in anything, because if you're alone and trying to fighting off your own thoughts and trying to figure out where you are, what to do next, and your own thoughts are distorted, so they're not going to lead you in the right direction.
Yeah, you just get deeper and deeper into it yourself when you think of the what ifs and the...
Exactly, and you think maybe like, oh, I'm helping myself, I'm working on being better, but if you're not going to be critical with yourself, because at that time, like, your voice isn't really pushing you to be better or improve. It wants you to stay in that, like,
yeah, it really does,
negative place. And
I think that goes across like any kind of like almost addiction or mm-hmm. mental health issue as well, or mental health disease or anything like that. But with you seeking treatment, like, I know we kind of talked about a little bit last time when we talked a little bit about therapy and like how it really was beneficial for both of us.
Yeah.
No, not for everyone. The clinical route might be for some people, but it just unfortunately wasn't for us. So can you tell me, like, what steps you first took after, you know, going into, I know you were in the mental hospital and everything. Is that really what, like, made you take the turn to really focus on yourself and making yourself, like, better and focusing on self-love? Like, what was that thing that, like, really clicked for you that you were like, okay, like, I'm gonna get my shit together and just, like, really, like, work on myself? Like, every day I know we obviously have those struggles.
Yeah.
Not every day. Some days are better than others. But what really was, like, the turning point for you?
I feel like anyone that knows they're on the road to recovery or have been considered themselves recovered, like, definitely can pinpoint a moment in time. I think my moment in time is when I was, like, doing the group therapy in the hospital, we would have these downtime, and it was, like, not really during therapy sessions. It was the in-between where it was just all of us that does the group therapy together just kind of hanging out. And that's where we would do a lot of our talking, get to know each other. There was people that were – I was actually the youngest, but there was people that were 80 years old. There was people from all walks of life. It was insane. And everyone had different disorders and battling different things, but we all really connected with how we were feeling, and we all truly understood each other. And seeing these people struggle, seeing myself struggle, but knowing I was not alone, like, knowing, wow, there's so many people that are dealing with this, that are going through this together, we are in this together, like, we truly are. I was like, I'm not, the clinical route isn't helping me. These drugs might help me a little bit, but they're not, I'm nowhere where I want to be. I want to be somewhere where I can be happy every day. I want to be back to, like, how I felt as a child, and I want to be in a spot where I can get there and then help these people as well know that you can get there. And for me, that's where I clicked, and I was like, okay, I gotta cut my shit. I need to actually focus on myself. And that's really when I learned to be selfish, live selfishly, which is what I strive and try to do every day. It sounds bad, but, like,
no, I am so for that. I love that you brought that up, because I think a lot of people are really just afraid to be selfish, and a lot of the times that is the first step in not just, like, recovering, but seriously just, like, really finding a passion for life and, like, something
you
love. And, like, it's crazy because I know with, like, obviously me having an eating disorder, like, it's not always external. You can't always see it, but for the most part, you know, when someone is extremely disordered in that sense, you know, they'll usually be pretty frail. Like, there's always those signs of, like, hair.
Yeah, definitely.
Like that. But for body dysmorphia, that's something that's just, like, not seen at all. So
yeah.
When it came to, like, a social setting ever, did you have to kind of, like, get uncomfortable with, like, telling people, or was it, like, awkward at all for you to kind of, like, come out about it at first?
So the strange thing is, luckily, like I said, my mom was there for me, so she went to therapy sessions with me. So when I was diagnosed, she knew exactly what was going on. We both researched it after. But besides that, all my best friends, like, in high school and the ones I had in college, I didn't tell them once. Like, I never told them I was diagnosed. The first people I told was my mom, and then social media.
Right.
And
it's so funny how you feel comfortable sharing it with the community, right?
Yeah, it's weird, because I was like, okay, again, I'm not alone. Like, I can explain myself, and these people know what I'm saying. But I think for me, when I open up and I'm no longer, like, embarrassed by what I've gone through or how I feel, and realize, like, okay, this will always be a part of me. I'm not going to be ashamed for it. I'm not going to be ashamed for my feelings, because one, I really can't help it, and two, it's the reason who I am today. It's the reason why I do everything I do and live the way I live. I decided, like, this is, like, I'm not going to hide it anymore. And for me, I think that was honestly the hardest thing to do. But I made another post on my, like, personal account that's not my fitness account, and just was like, hey, this is what I struggled with through. I don't know if anyone else is struggling, but just know I'm here for you. I just want to put this out here, blah, 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 blah. And I had this post written up for, like, months on months, and I was like, I can't do it. And because I was scared of, like, people being like, oh, she is looking for attention, or she's being stupid, I don't really know, or just people not understanding, and this is when, like, living selfishly comes in. And I was like, no, like, I want to help people. This is what I want. I don't really care if people don't like what I'm putting out there. This is what I want. So I decided to post it, and the feedback I got was so positive. I had girls being like, I feel like I struggle with this, or I don't struggle with this, but this is what I do struggle with. I'm not sure what to do. And just hearing all the feedback I had from, like, girls in high school I went to high school with, like, I had no clue they were struggling. Girls I went to college with, like, it's insane. Yeah.
Obviously, like, coming out about it on your personal account, like, that I know is huge. Like, that's something for me I never really did until I actually uncovered, like, my Fears to Fit page.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I still have, like, my personal account and really don't post much about my life regarding, like, fitness or anything like that. What really apted you to make your fitness account? Like, when did you finally decide to start that and really, like, share everything that you're going through on that as well?
I think it was from my personal account. I kind of was, like, got into exploring, like, the world, the different communities out there. And I saw, like, these communities and how, like, kind of supportive different ones were. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. Like, I'm going to keep it private. I don't really care. Like, I don't need followers, blah, blah, blah. And then from there, I just made it and just was posting random things, like, my feelings, my thoughts, just kind of as, like, a little diary. Just opening up another way to open up, kind of, and I became, like, in love with it. I love posting. I love being there.
Great. How did that help you in any way? I know, like, with me and my story, like, we're pretty similar in terms of, like, not mm-hmm. wanting anyone to really know, and obviously a private fitness account, and then you just so happen to realize, like, hey, I could actually, like, help somebody.
Yeah.
So how did social media help you with kind of overcoming, like, your hard days, or what were, like, mm-hmm. the positives that you took away from, you know, having your Coffee and Commandos page?
I think just seeing, like, how people can relate and, like, knowing that, like, what I constantly say, knowing you're never alone, and, like, that people do care, like, people you don't know, they care. There's people out there that care, and you're here. You can care about people. You can be that difference as well. I think just, like, knowing that really made a difference and made me want to continue my account too. And I think my account also made me more comfortable talking about everything I was going through. So now, like, when I meet people, like, I'm not really afraid to say if I'm, like, having a bad day, I'll be like, oh, like, this is what's up, instead of being like, oh, I can't because my mom told me I can't. I, like, some excuse. Yeah.
Too, because a lot of people just kind of are like, oh, I can't. You, like you said, like, I always just use my parents as an excuse. Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, wait,
it doesn't,
like,
really work anymore.
I need a new excuse. But it's so great that you can, like, be open and honest about that and, like, actually tell people. Because I know I don't know if you kind of find, tell me if I'm right or wrong with your situation, but for
yeah.
me, I both kind of find social media is almost like a form of accountability. Not like I have to impress my followers or anything like that, but
yeah,
I want to be able to uplift other people too. So it's kind of like, you know, it's almost like accountability. Do you find it's kind of like that for you too?
Yeah, I think, like, sometimes I was just having this conversation with earlier. I think it's really hard to follow your own advice. And, like, you can have these thoughts and be like, oh, I need to do this. Like, this is what I need to think. Like, this is what I need to be. And then it can be, like, a lot, and they'll just be, like, fading thoughts. But writing them down, or even, like, just having a conversation when it reminds you of a thought or, like, a mindset you want to have, like, putting that out there just is like, okay, wait, I need to do this as well. Like, I can't just be saying these things. I need to be acting this way as well. And so that helps a lot.
I know that we talked a little bit about kind of, like, the strategies that we both have, and they're pretty similar. Can you kind of explain to everyone, like, what you do from, like, a day-to-day basis? Like, if you're having a harder day, like, do you kind of just live in the moment? I know we talked about, like, doing affirmations and stuff like that.
So mm-hmm.
what kind of things do you, like, put into play to really keep you on track and, you know, keep growing yourself as a person?
Yeah, so like a few things I like to do is in the morning I like to, or even like on a Sunday, I like to write out like my major goals for the week and just things I know I have to get done so I don't get overwhelmed. And then every morning I like to wake up and I do a kind of like one goal or like one thing I'm going to strive for. And I try to keep it one like fitness related because obviously that's a big part of my life. One mental health related. And then like one work related or life or college, depending on where I am at life, because I don't want to just limit it to fitness, obviously. But yeah, I just like to write one of those, and it kind of just like puts me in a mindset like, okay, this is what I'm gonna do. And like most of the time, like for the work or something, I'm gonna be like, take your time and enjoy every aspect of it. And instead of wanting to rush through all my tasks that I need to get done, I'll actually take a step back and like know what I'm doing and kind of like actually enjoy it. And it makes the day go by not only like not faster, but just better in a more like,
right, you have more,
yeah,
mindset towards everything.
Exactly.
So with like doing affirmations and setting goals and stuff like that, like, do you recommend writing them, or do you, like, this is something I found as of recently. So I started telling people my goals.
No, I'm the exact same.
Okay, so I just wanted to see if I was, like, the only human who thought that. So writing down goals is, like, number one, but two, like, telling people makes such a huge difference.
Yeah, it really does. I don't know why, but it does.
I guess it, like, holds you, someone else will hold you accountable.
Yeah, that's true. Like,
I know you said, like, you have a life goal, you have a fitness goal, and you have, like, a mentality goal. But in regards to fitness and stuff like that, kind of, I know it's, like, a big part of your life, but is that, do you think, one thing that really helped you with your body dysmorphia? Like, did you ever have a bad relationship with the gym, or was it something that actually kind of saved you?
I think at first it started off as a bad relationship, and I would just abuse the gym kind of to abuse myself in some way. But that was more when I was into like doing cardio and stuff like that. I think lifting really made me appreciate my body and what it can do, because bodies are freaking cool. And I think I now see myself as more, less of like as an object in here for anyone else, and more like, this is my body. I get to do what I want with it, and it's my control. And like, it allows me to live every day to its full, to my fullest. And I think lifting really made me like connect the two. And also, with lifting, obviously we got our coach, both of us, Nick, and Nick has made such an impact on my mental health. And so I, from that, like the fitness aspect, he's helped me a lot. So
yeah, and it's also,
yeah,
like with getting into fitness, obviously it like gets you into social media, or like even
by, yeah,
people get on social media then get into fitness, but like it really gives you a sense of community, because like you said earlier, like even if we're not struggling with the exact same thing, like it's so crazy how, like, we talked for, like, almost an hour after our last call.
I know.
About how, like, in therapy, like, we both were just, like, not having it. And there were just so many things that we could, like, relate, even though I had anorexia and yours was, like, body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
It's, like, crazy how, like, having a community of people who are just, like, have problems. Like, you know, it's, like,
we, yeah,
have
problems. And it, yeah. Like, we're all fucked up, but it's great. We're doing great.
Like, we're all fucked up, but it's okay because we're together. So I think it's awesome, obviously, that we've both like found that sense of community, and you know, being on the same team with our coach and everything, like that's even just a greater amount of community there as well.
Yeah, I think it's so important to surround yourself with people you know that are, want to watch you grow and want you to progress, and will support you through that always, like no matter what your goals are, even if they don't align, like just the support, like finding whoever, like finding a little tribe and clan, like that's so helpful. It's such a nice feeling.
So I just have one last
question.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious as to myself, because a lot of people ask me about, you know, my mental health disorder. Like, do you ever have like these kind of feelings, or are you ever like afraid of food? Which for me, I feel like I believe in 100% recovery for my eating disorder, and I feel like I am 100% recovered.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for you, like, obviously I have, like, bad body image days, and, like, there are oh my gosh, like, I feel gross today, but are there, like, things that you still struggle with in terms of body dysmorphia, or would you say it's kind of past that as to just, like, being, like, same thing, like, bad body image days and stuff?
Yeah, I would say for, at least in my experience with body dysmorphia, I consider myself recovered, but I don't consider myself not having it. Like, I do consider myself, like, diagnosed with it, and I probably will have it my entire life, and same with depression. But I think the major difference is back then, like, I let that control me and get to me, and each morning I'd have a negative thought, and it would just build and build and build and build. But I've, like, grown my mental health, I guess, to learn how to, like, combat that and fight that every day. So instead of letting it get to me, I kind of just, like, take control before it gets to that point. And it's obviously easier said than done, and it's taken a really long time for me to get to this point, but it is possible. And even when I have
little routines, and like you said, like, setting goals every morning and stuff,
yeah,
that is, like, that alone right there, like, even if your day is still shitty, like, at least you did something to make it not
mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And it's like if I wake up and I do feel like depression coming on or something, I'm like, okay, hey, like, I have depression, here it is, just a little reminder that, you know, this is why I'm here today, it's fine, like, this is just a part of me.
Also, like, look back at things that you used to do too, like,
exactly,
like, this is so sad, but sometimes, like, look back and laugh at things that I used to do, like,
are you? No, I do that too. I literally can laugh at myself all the time. I'm like, you, why do you do this, like, why do you waste this time, and, like, right. I don't even know.
But, like, the fact that you can look back at that and, like,
yeah,
kind of almost laugh at yourself just goes to show you, like, how far you've come. Like, sometimes, like, I'll even hop on the phone with, like, my mom or my sister or something, mm-hmm. and, like, I'll be having a really crappy day, and they'll be like, but do you remember, like, this, that, and the third, like, what you used to do? And then I'm just like,
yeah,
you're so right. Like, life is so great now compared
to— Yeah, I know. I'm like, okay, wait, I actually love life. Like, it's just crazy how, like, you, yeah. And it just shows, goes to show you, like, you can progress. Like, just look back even, like, a month ago, and you, most likely, you, it's changed. Like,
yeah.
And I think, yeah.
Another thing is too, like, coming out of, you know, both, like, the things that we've dealt with, like, having, there's, like, a sense of you that, like, you really have to want to, like, a lot of people just are, like, where do I start, and, like, you can take action, but if you don't want to, like, I feel like that's the one thing where it's, like, okay, like, this is what's gonna change your life, for sure.
Yeah, that's a big thing, like, people can hold you accountable, people can, support you and all those things, but if you're not the one being, like, okay, I know if I don't actually change what I'm doing or take action, then I won't change. And it's scary. Change is scary, but if you're not gonna commit to it and stick with it, then you can't expect your body to change, because you have to be uncomfortable to change.
Is that kind of how you felt when you were in therapy? Like, almost like, you know how they kind of baby you in a way? Is it like something?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, so that's, like, kind of how I felt as well. That's why I think for me, like, finding more of a sense of community was more of something I needed.
I felt like a lab rat. I was like,
yeah, yeah, that's how I felt too. So I think just, like, being babied is, like, someone else taking care of it for you, so that when you're on your own eventually, because, you know, you can't, invest in therapy forever because it's expensive.
And yeah.
You do, like, you just can't waste an hour, you know, every two, not necessarily waste an hour, but you can't continuously, like, put tasks off to keep going to therapy. Like, there are more.
Exactly.
Most likely.
I feel like therapy is, like, it's nice to vent, but, like, mm-hmm. venting, talking about how you feel, like, that's one way to help get over it. But if you want actual change, like, that's going to come from within. You're going to have to, like, grow up and do it.
Yeah, and I would honestly say for everyone out there, like, listening, I think, you know, try, if you want to change, then try the therapy. Or
yeah, yeah.
If you don't want to change, and try it, because, like, obviously me and you just didn't, but there are people out there who obviously do succeed with that.
Oh, yeah, I know many people that like therapy, just.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know people who are fully recovered but still go just because it helps them. So
yeah, definitely.
Especially if you develop a good relationship with a therapist. So that's definitely, like, you know, something to consider too. But I'm really glad that obviously, like, we found each other because, like, we really like having the same coach, like, that's brought us together obviously even closer. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So Emma, if you had one piece of advice for everybody out there listening to strive for their strength, what would it be?
I would say believe in yourself. You know, like, anything is possible. You can be completely different or anywhere. You can do anything you want to do. It's just going to come from yourself. It's going to come from pretty much what you think you can do. And once you believe in yourself, like, you will achieve it. Like, that's, like, the most cliche thing, believe it and achieve it. But dang, it's true.
So true. That is beautiful. I love that. Yeah, I definitely, like we had said, like, if you don't want it and you don't have that positive attitude towards it, then, you know, it does make it hard to do. No negative Nellies out there. So, life changes when you add some positivity.
It's true.
All right, Emma, well, thank you so much for coming on, and thank you so much for sharing your story. I hope everyone out there is a lot more educated on it, on the topic, because I know it's really under-talked about. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Kendall.
Of course, and if you guys don't follow Emma already, go follow her on Instagram. I will leave her name in the description. It is @coffee_and_commando.
Bye, Kendall. Thank you. Bye.